Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all praise, glorification and gratitude be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with this ability and given us this tawfiq to sit for a little while longer to hear something about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related to Allah ta'ala, the deen of Allah ta'ala, and related to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the two important aspects of our kalima. One is la ilaha illallah, that there is none other worthy of worship, there is no ma'bud, there is no maqsood, there is no matloob illallah, but Allah ta'ala. And the second aspect is Muhammadur Rasulullah. And our iman cannot be complete if one just stops at the first part until one doesn't accept the second. He is not a believer. In order to believe in Allah Ta'ala, one has to believe in Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So alhamdulillah, in the first session we've had the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, to really recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who Allah ta'ala is, that this very limited ability that Allah ta'ala has given us, it is impossible to understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is beyond our comprehension. Yes, we see Allah ta'ala in His Qudrat. When we see the things that Allah Ta'ala has created, then we realize that someone has created this. When an ordinary bench or an ordinary cupboard cannot come into existence on its own, if someone says that these things have just come on one occasion, Ali ibn Idwadi Imam Munifa Rahmatullah Ali, that so we do have a debate with the an atheist. There was going to be a debate between an atheist, and I stand subject to correction, but I think it was Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali. So there was a time that was appointed and the place was fixed for that debate to take place. So on the appointed time, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali didn't pitch up. And the intelligence of Imam Munifa Rahmatullah Ali is well known. However, Imam Sahib Rahmatullah Ali came a little late. So the atheist already used that as something against Imam Munifa Rahmatullah Ali. See, because he is unable to debate, that is why he is not here now. And after that, when he came a little later, and whatever against Imam Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali. So then, however, Imam Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, when he got onto the stage, and the debate basically, so Imam Hanifa Rahmatullah Ali gave his reason for arriving late. So he said that when I came, there was a river that I had to cross. And when I got to the river, then nowadays too you'll see the certain places they have the small boats, rowing boats or otherwise, that take passengers across from one side to the other. So Imam Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that when I got there to the bank, I wanted to get onto a boat, and you pay and you get onto the other side. You said there was no boat there for me, no conveyance for me to cross and come on the other side. Of course, I can't swim, there's no other. He said, whilst I was standing there, then suddenly there was a tree that was nearby. The tree, it was cut on its own, and then it shaped itself into the form of a little boat, and it came there, and I got into that boat. I came across, and I find myself here now. So this was the reason for the delay. So the atheist addressing the audience, this is the intelligence of this man. He wants to debate this issue, that whether there is a creator or not. And he's talking of things like this, can you believe it? That the tree will just cut on its own, will just fall. And not only just fall, but then it shapes itself into the form of a, into the shape of a boat. And then he gets inside, does it make sense to you? So that was exactly what Imam Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was waiting for. And he says, then he addressed this person. He said, the debate is over. I said, what do you mean the debate is over? He said, when you cannot acknowledge and cannot accept that a tree can just fall and break and get into the shape of a boat, then this whole world, you think it is just possible for it to come into existence on its own, there's no creator. When you cannot accept that, that this boat could have just come into existence, that there is a maker for a boat. There is someone that will maybe chop the tree, someone that will break the branches, take all the extra things out, then mold that thing, open, get it shaped and whatever else, and then after all that effort, it will come into existence. Then that is just one aspect, and you can't accept that. Then ask your intelligence that this entire universe, the skies, the heavens, the mountains, the oceans, the trees, everything that Allah Ta'ala has created, could that just have come on, into existence on its own? The debate is over. So however, this is the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. In everything we see Allah Ta'ala. So that is the first part of the kalimat. There is no other ma'bud besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course the second part is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we believe in the risalat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So just as it is an ibadat, an action of ibadat to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so is it with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore we find our akabir and those that have muhabbat for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sometimes the muhabbat is expressed in the form of kalam or in the form of ash'ar as we call it. And they pour their hearts out if only we are able to understand the messages. And almost you'll find every wali of Allah ta'ala, you find sometimes they've composed something or the other, or they mentioned something or other in this regard. So it is thought that since it's the last night, so we've had alhamdulillah the first session in which there was a recognition of Allah Ta'ala that we heard about and that was recited so beautifully. May Allah Ta'ala accept the recitation and the presentation of our Mufti Sahib Nawaz Barakatuh, who presented it in such a beautiful way. And of course it was the kalam of an Arif Billah. Arif Billah is one who has recognized Allah Ta'ala, as we've heard, you know, in what things they see, the beauty of Allah Ta'ala, the majesty of Allah Ta'ala. Maine tumhe dekha hai, maine tumhe dekha hai. I've seen you in all these things. And what type of eyes they must have had, that in the winds that are blowing, in the trees, in the leaves, in the animals, in the human beings, in the skies, in the plains, in the creation of Allah Ta'ala, in those things which the creations have made. Everything they see, the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. So this is the recognition of Allah Ta'ala. So inshallah now we'll have something related to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the place where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resides, and that is in Madina Tayyiba. So related to Madina Tayyiba, the Ahlullah, just with the coming of or mentioning of the name of, forget Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just the city of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it takes them into a different mood. Why? Because it is the place where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rests. So they have that type of attachment to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forget to the Zat al-Mubarak and Ali of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even the air and the atmosphere of Madina Tayyiba. There was a pious person, whether it was Gangoi Rahmatullah Ali or Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, one of our pious predecessors. So he was brought some hadiya and a shawl which we put over our heads from Madina Tayyiba. So it was presented to Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. So he took that shawl in his hands and he began kissing it and attaching it to himself. So however, those that were around there after having seen this ada and the way that Hazrat, you know, responded to this hadiah that was brought from Madina Tayyibah, so then they mentioned to Hazrat that Hazrat, you are, this is how you have responded, but the reality is that this article is not manufactured in Madina Tayyibah. It's manufactured in China or wherever else. It's not manufactured in Madina Tayyibah. So Hazrat mentioned, "Theek hai, it's not manufactured in Madina Tayyibah, lekin usko Madina Tayyibah ki hawa lagi. The air, the atmosphere of Madina Tayyibah has touched it. So therefore, that attachment. So the thing itself may not be manufactured there, but it has got the atmosphere, it has got the air of Madina Tayyibah that has touched it. So that makes it so beloved to me." Now this only that person will be able to do. I remember my late Ustad, Hazrat Qari Ani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Once again, certain things don't fall under masala. It is related, or it is related to adab, or related to love. You know, in the world of love, the adab are different. In the world of love, the adab and etiquettes are different. It may not fall under masala that this is jais and permissible or impermissible. But it makes it permissible or impermissible in the world of love. So of course, when they have that type of ishq and they have that type of muhabbat for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so someone presented to him a pair of sandals. And in India, you know, you get those straps, sandals with straps, those rubber ones, plastic ones, whatever. So they presented it to him, but the straps on that sandals were green in color. The straps on the sandals were like dark green in color. So Hazrat Ustad Qarani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned that, "How can I put this on my feet when this color resembles the color of the dome of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? This color resembles the color of the dome of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam." This is in the world of ishq. In the world of muhabbat, they will say that this is not permissible. And that, nobody will tell you that if you ask a mufti, that, "Listen, is there anything?" There's nothing wrong. Put it on, if it's black or green or whatever. But as long as it's a permissible color, it will go for a male. Fair enough, use it. But in the world of ishq, in the world of muhabbat, the heart won't accept it. Why? Because of the debtor. But that will only happen if a person has got that attachment. And for the person, firstly, for his mind to go towards it, it only happen if you've got that type of attachment. If there isn't that type of attachment to Madina Tayyibah, to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then a person's mind will not go up to there. Therefore we find some awliya Allah in the attachment of Madina Tayyibah and respect of Madina Tayyibah. When they entered Madina Tayyibah, although once again this is not a masla of jais and najais or permissible or impermissible, again it's related to the world of ishq. So when they entered Madina Tayyibah, before entering, they would take off these sandals or shoes and walk barefoot in Madina Tayyibah throughout this day. Why? Because they don't know on which part of this earth the feet Mubarak of my beloved has fallen, and I walk with my napak shoes on that. This is the ishq. This is the muhabbat that they have for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were those that as long as they resided in Madina Tayyibah, they would not answer the call of nature, not go to toilet within the precincts of the haram. They would wait. And when the urge is really there, when the need is really there, it cannot be suppressed anymore, then they would go out far and then go to toilet or whatever, and then come back to the city of Madina Tayyibah. So this is in the world of ishq, in the world of muhabbat and love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this makes up the other part of our deen, and that is the ishq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and believing the risalat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We cannot get to Allah Ta'ala. We cannot get to Allah Ta'ala if you do not have Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because in fact, the reality is this, that we would not have even known about Allah Ta'ala if it wasn't for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is the medium? Who is the medium by whom the Qur'an Majeed came, by whom this deen has come to us? It is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how can we bypass that and go direct to Allah Ta'ala? Therefore Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Qur'an Majeed that if you want to love Allah Ta'ala, then fattabi'uni, then ittiba'ya sunnat. Then follow Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you will get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore ittiba'ya sunnat, and making amal on the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, implementing the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so important. Because via that we will get the muhabbat and the closeness and the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah some ashar related to this will be recited of our Hazrat Wala rahmatullah alayhi. May Allah ta'ala, via the kalam of these arifin, may Allah ta'ala open up our hearts to reality. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with those types of hearts wherein the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala and of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reside. And may Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to regularly send salat and salam and durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us make it our habit every morning, evening, recite some durood sharif upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ideally, at least try and read one tasbih in the morning, one tasbih in the evening. And like that too, during the course of the day, we can't do anything else, can't make any other dhikr, make send durood and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This will gain us the closeness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the remembrance of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we may have heard, that every time, every durood and salat that we recite upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reward that it brings to the person that is reciting, 10 gunas of his are washed away, 10 darajat or 10 ranks of his are elevated, Allah Ta'ala's mercy, 10 mercies come upon this person, and so many other different virtues and rewards are promised for that person that recites salat and salam upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is so easy whilst getting up in the morning, whilst going to the masjid, or whilst coming from the masjid, or whether it's going to Zuhar time, Asr time, just keep a tasbih and just continue reciting salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Via this, inshallah, there will be that attachment that will come for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once a person gets that qurb of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is how you will get the qurb. Sometimes we think that how we will, there's two ways that we can get the closeness of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is implementing the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Implementing the sunnahs to whatever extent. Make an attempt. Make a niyyah that, Ya Allah, you give me the tawfiq of implementing the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in my life. And together with myself, make an attempt to the family to implement these sunnahs in our homes. That is one. And the second is through the recitation of the Durood Sharif. Excessive Durood Sharif upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the more I speak about something, or the more I repeat something, it's going to affect the heart. When we keep on talking of worldly things, then it affects the heart. When we keep on talking about Allah Ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then sooner or later, inshallah, the reality of that will go into the heart. So when a person continues reciting salat and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's continuously, and sometimes you find those fortunate souls, Allah Ta'ala even blesses them with the ziyarat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes you find young children, because of the attachment, and when they hear the fadilat and the rewards and the promises of Durood Sharif, then they get such an attachment and they get the jazba, they recite so much that sometimes you will find that you will hear them mentioning that they had a vision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that person who has seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his or her dream, then he's seen no one else but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is with regards to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we need to be convinced about. So however, Allah Ta'ala then sometimes blesses the person with the vision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know those that have been blessed with the vision of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what type of happiness it brings to the heart. It's beyond explanation. MashaAllah, Mawlana Yunus Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, also mentioned that he, Allah had blessed him with the vision of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on few occasions. Some mashayikh mentioned that they've seen Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so closely in the dream that even the redness in the eyes they've seen of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That is because of the attachment, of the closeness. When the person has that type of attachment to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then Allah Ta'ala creates that. I mean, I'm not saying that we should be behind these types of dreams or wait for this, but Allah Ta'ala then gives it. The person, this becomes a means of happiness in the person's heart. And then he appreciates. And when that appreciation and that happiness Allah Ta'ala gives it to him in the heart, then he wants to do even more. He goes even more further. So these types of things bring us closer to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Respecting the sunnahs. Another thing we need to understand that sometimes we are unable to maybe practice upon the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but do not make one mistake, and that is don't ever ridicule a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You can't practice it. Okay, I can't practice it. If someone is practicing it, don't stop the person and don't discourage the person because I can't do so, I'm discouraging someone else. The child wants to sit on the floor and eat. Children come from madrasa or they've been taught in madrasa that you must sit and eat at home, sit on the dastarkhan. Sit on the floor and eat is a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now when the child wants to implement that, when he comes home and very humbly he tells the mother or the father, listen, we like to sit on the floor and eat. Now we start passing comments up there. Who taught you this? And where did you learn this? Or there is no need for that. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. So one is that we are not implementing it. And someone that wants to implement it, then we are stopping them also. So what are we doing then? So we are becoming a hindrance. And once you become a hindrance from someone practicing on the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what I am doing is I am distancing myself from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So one is that I don't implement, I don't practice on something that is my weakness. But encourage someone else to do it. Sometimes I don't do something, but I have encouraged someone else to do it. I can't sit on the floor, for instance, now because of my knees, because of some other weakness, my back, or whatever else. But now the children, now they sit on the floor and eat. But you're not sitting on the floor. Yes, I've got an excuse, and my back is paining, or this or that, or whatever. That is why I can't sit. But otherwise, you'll sit on the floor. I'm excused now. So, but others, encourage them. Implement these things in our home. Allah Ta'ala has made us the responsible people in our homes. And we are responsible for our flocks. Our children we are responsible for. Our families we are responsible for. It is not that they are just left on their own and do whatever they want. Allah Ta'ala has given us responsibility. If those things are not right, tomorrow we will be questioned. The nurturing of the children. Are we happy and content with this that we give them dunyavi education, we made arrangement for the education, we give them the best of clothes, we give them the best of everything, we give them the best of comfort and luxuries and toys and everything, and we're content with that. Okay, now that is it. The deeni tarbiyat, who's going to make? Who is going to be concerned about all this? And we are fortunate that sometimes we are unable to make the deeni tarbiyat. The deeni tarbiyat, our asatidah and our ustads in the makatib and madaris will do it. But the problem is that we don't give it the backup that it requires. That when they are taught there, then they come here back home, then we undo what they are taught. Sometimes with criticism of this nature, that don't worry, leave that for somewhere else. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. Child says, oh, let's sit down on the floor and eat. Encourage the child. Be happy that the child is becoming a means of sunnah being introduced in the house. Be happy about the fact that the child is becoming a means of bringing noor in the house. Today our homes are filled with what? Problems, difficulties, arguments, fights. This is what the homes are filled in. There's darkness, there's zulmat in the home. Now you want to repel that zulmat, you want to expel it. Who wants zulmat in the house? We've got everything, we've got all the luxuries, but still there's those fights, arguments and everything is still carrying on. Now how do you repel that? How do you expel it? So it is simple. If this place is dark, the only thing you do is just put on a light, and that light will expel the darkness will expel. Darkness will just go away. So similarly, if there's darkness in our home of kufr ways of those that are the enemies of Islam, the only way to expel that is, one is repelling something, pushing it away, and one is expelling it. And that is what we need to do. We need to take it out. We need to push it totally out, and that will be with the introduction of the nur of the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Introduce the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that will be that light you're putting on. And remember that depending on the power of the light, of the tube, or the voltage, or the wattage of that particular globe, that is the amount of light that will come. And you see here in this hall that we have in this masjid, there's not one light, there's few lights that are burning. Right? And each one is contributing towards the brightness. Start putting off one light at a time, that is how much less the light will be affected, in it start going dimmer and dimmer, until when it's only one light, it'll be that much dimmer. And put that light off also, it's total darkness. Put one light on, that is the amount of light. Put the next light on, you'll get that much more increase. And put the next light on, it'll be that much more increase. So the more light you put on, the more brightness you will get. The more sunnahs you introduce, the more brightness will come into the homes. The more brightness will come into our hearts. Our hearts will become illuminated. And you see the other thing, you've got so many lights here. Can you divide, or can you separate? Can we separate the light? In other words, can we see that this amount of light is coming from here, this one is coming from here? It's all mixed, it has all integrated, it is all one. You can't. So the nur of the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam will all become one, and that will then illuminate not only our hearts but even the atmosphere. You'll find the atmosphere will become, when we go to Madinah Tayyibah, do we not, as weak as we are and as sinful as we are, what is our experience in Madinah Tayyibah? Hey, you know, it's just different. When you go to Makkah Mukarramah, you say, you know, the atmosphere is different there, the feeling is different there. But in Madinah Tayyibah, may Allah Ta'ala take all of us over and over again with izzat and afiyah to that place, and with respect of the place and with honor of the place. So we go to Madinah Tayyibah. But what is our experience there? Even, you know, the gunegars like us, weak ones like us, the different feeling. I remember the first time that I went, and forget Madinah Tayyibah, when I just looked at the Mount of Uhud, I didn't really know it. I was still new the first time that I went there. So I was introduced to it a little later on. I was told that. But just looking at that mount, it was a totally different type of serenity that one experienced. You know, and I didn't know why I'm experiencing it. Later on, I came to know that was Mount Uhud. So now, this is the earth of Madinah Tayyibah. This is the Mubarak lands of Madinah Tayyibah. This is that land upon which the feet Mubarak of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on. The Sahaba Ikram. So what nur then? That is why my Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, Mawlana Yunus Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that agreed that all the fitnas and everything are there. The fitnas in the foyers, in the hotels, in the shopping complexes, and by the day it's increasing every day. But Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say that the nuraniyat of that place is still there, provided you've got that spiritual heart to experience that. It is not that the nur is taken away. It is that we don't have those hearts to experience that nur. If you had that heart that Allah Ta'ala blesses the awliya Allah with, then in the midst of all that filth that is carrying on there, in the midst of all those fitnas, you will find that them experiencing such gardens in the heart and such closeness and such qurb of Allah Ta'ala and experiencing such kafiyat there. Why? Because of the heart. So that nur is still there, but it is whether we've got the receivers on or not, or whether we are tuned in correctly or not. If it is not tuned in, you're not going to get it. So therefore, the second aspect is equally important, and that is our ishq for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ittiba'i sunnat. Ittiba'i sunnat. Implement the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and see. You know, the greatest karamat is ittiba'i sunnat. There was one person, he went and stayed in the company of one shaykh who was regarded as an arif billah, a very pious person, for some period of time, some muddat he stayed in his company, and he stayed and he stayed and he stayed. And there came a time when eventually he told the Shaykh, listen, I want to leave now. Okay. But then he saw some signs of disappointment on his face. So I said, but I see some disappointment on your face. Is there something that you are upset about? I do something wrong or something of that nature due to which you want to leave? He said, no, there's no such thing. He said, why are there signs of disappointment that apparent on your face? So he said, Hazrat, see, I'll be frank with you. I've stayed here for this period of time. So many years I've been in your company. But not a single day did I see any karamat being performed by you, anything that is supernatural. I haven't seen anything that is supernatural, something that is from the, that goes under the category of karamat. For instance, you know, flying in the air or something of that nature. So he said, by what you are saying is correct. But I want to ask you one question. He said, this period of time that you have spent with me, this number of years, any day, at any moment, did you see me doing anything contrary to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, well, that I didn't see any time. He said, what short of karamat is that? Isn't that a karamat on its own? That everything that has been done according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What further karamat than that to you? This in itself is a great ni'mat of Allah, that a person is able to take every step in accordance to the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a great ni'mat and bounty and favor that. That is why our awliya and the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the outstanding feature. This is what makes them outstanding, that they are muttabi' sunnat. A person cannot be a wali of Allah ta'ala if he is not muttabi' sunnat. He has to make ittiba of sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah ta'ala blesses them with those ranks as well, according to the qurb that the person has and according to the to his ittiba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala blesses them with those ranks accordingly. So ittiba is sunnat. Bring this into our lives. Make this niyyah tonight, Ya Allah. Give me the tawfiq of making ittiba of the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And ittiba of sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not in just one aspect or department of our life. Whether it is related to our business life, whether it is related to my personal life, whether it is related to my social life, whether it is related to my interaction with my children, whether it is related to the interaction with my spouse, whatever it is, everything must be in accordance with the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did he enter the home? How did he interact with the people of the home? How did he interact with the people in the masjid? How did he interact with the people in the bazaars? All these things will fall in the sunnahs. That how did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do eating? Then of course his personal habits in the form of his eating and drinking and sleeping and going to the toilet, coming out of the toilet, all these adab and all these sunnats that we find there. All these are sunnats, the sunnats and related to the masajid, to the masjid, coming in, going out and the rest of it. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of ittiba'i sunnat, and that is implementing the sunnats of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of sending durood and salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regularly.
This is the Ash'araf Hazrat Wala Arif Billah, Dr. Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. The title is Ya Subhi Madina, Ya Shami Madina. Ya Subhi Madina, Ya Shami Madina. Ya Subhi Madina, Ya Shami Madina. Mubarak tujhe ye Qiyam-e Madina. Ya Subh-e Madina, Ya Shami Madina. Mubarak tujhe ye Qiyam-e Madina. Bhala jaane kya jaam Momeen-e Aalam. Bhala jaane kya jaam Momeen-e Aalam. Tera kaife khush khiram-e Madina. Tera kaife khush khiram-e Madina.
As far as the kifiyat of Madina Tayyiba and the joy that one experiences there and the kafiyat and the condition of the heart that is experienced there. Of course, that you cannot ask those that who have their hearts attached to the things of the world. A person has to have his heart attached to Madina Tayyibah and to the thought of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that is in Madina Tayyibah, and have that ishq and love for him. And then he will experience that and he will be able to tell you what it is to be in Madina Tayyibah. But one that is void of that love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then he'll be there and he'll feel absolutely nothing.
Ya Subhi Madina, Ya Shami Madina, Ya Subhi Madina, Ya Shami Madina, Mubarak Tujhe Ye Qiyame Madina. مدینہ کی گلیوں میں ہر ایک قدم پر مدینہ کی گلیوں میں ہر ایک قدم پر ہو مد نظر احترام مدینہ ہو مد نظر احترام مدینہ یا صبح مدینہ یا شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ 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 پرا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ.
Forget taking the Mubarak name of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but just in the name of the city that was so beloved to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when that name comes on my tongue or when it is mentioned in my presence, then just the taking of the name of the city of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, bara lutf deta hai naam hai Madina, bara lutf deta hai, what joy and enjoyment I get just by the name of Madina Tayyiba, Madina, 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 Bara Lutf Deta Hai Naam-e Madina. Hazrat Wala Ramtullah Ali, I remember the time when I was Mawlana Yunus Sahab Ramtullah Ali, it was alive. Many years ago I happened to go to Karachi. So Hazrat Wala Ramtullah Ali went into his room, and in his room he had a picture, big picture of Madina Tayyiba. He had a picture of Madina Tayyiba, and it was at night, so there was a light that was shining in a particular way and it enhanced that picture. And Hazrat asked me that, how is this picture? Now, generally we'll have these types of things hung in our home, but how many times have our minds even went to that to admire it or to get someone else's attention attracted towards it? Now imagine Hazrat, who was an ashik of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and that is why I told my Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali once, I think I mentioned it on a previous occasion too, that when there was some talk of him going to Madina Tayyiba and some indication in one of his majalis that we attended. So in any case, after that I wrote to Hazrat, I told him that you are from amongst those, and although physically you are here, but your heart resides in Madina Tayyiba. That is the reality of these Ahlullah, that they are here and their hearts are there. And my condition is this, that I am there and my heart is here. And they can be very far away, but their hearts are there. And we will be right there, sometimes right in front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But there too, unfortunately, our hearts are somewhere else. Allah Ta'ala forgive us, that huzuri is not there. That presence is not there. We don't feel that presence. And these people, when they are there, Sometimes you will observe they are in totally a different world altogether. So to them, even just the name of Madina Taiba, it fills their heart, and sometimes you will just see them, tearing away in the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the pangs of separation. I am distanced from my beloved. I am distanced from my beloved. But this is the decree of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, every wali would have been residing just in Madina Taiba. Then what would we have done? So it is the decree of Allah Ta'ala, the Mawla Ilyas or Rahmatullah Ali, these other types of Buzurgani Deen. They wanted to be there at right at the feet Mubarak of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then they are ordered that no, go here, go there. Khidmat of Deen. Otherwise, would any Sahabi left, radiallahu ta'ala, would have left Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and went? So that is the Nizam of Allah Ta'ala. So they will be here, they will be there, and they will pass away in different places also. It is not that every wali will pass away in Madina Taiba. And this is not a sign or a criteria that should be used for a sign of wilayat of a person that he has to pass away in Madina Taiba. No. The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain, they grazed Mubarak. Around the world you will find, even in Africa, in India, China, the graves of the Ashab or the Sahaba of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So that is not the criteria. The criteria is ittiba'i sunnat. So whether a person is lying in Thanabon, or whether a person is lying in Jalalabad, thousands of kilometers away, or a person is lying in Madina Tayyibah, or a person is lying here in South Africa, that doesn't mean that because he's passed away so far away from Madina Tayyibah, so he's not a wali of Allah Ta'ala. These people are here, but their hearts are connected to Madina Tayyibah. So therefore, this ishq of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this we need to make an attempt towards, and of course, as we mentioned, ittiba'i sunnat and kathrat durood upon Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Madina, 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 bara lutf deta hai naam e Madina, bara lutf deta hai naam e Madina. Nigahon mein sultaniyat hai chahogi, nigahon mein sultaniyat hai chahogi, jo paega dil mein payam e Madina, jo paega dil mein payam e Madina.
All the riches, the glitter and glamour of this world, which we become so impressed with, and sometimes not just impressed, and we want to give our lives for that, in the accumulation of that, and sometimes not in the accumulation, and we can't accumulate it. Then the jealousy that burns in our hearts finishes us, kills us. And then to the extent that it is our desire that this that calamity befall this person, that he loses the wealth that he's got, that he snatches away, the different types of calamities befall. This is what this love and this intoxication of the love of this world drives a person mad. Person, he starts desiring such things for his brother. One cannot even conceive and think of that. Can a person be desirous of these types of things? That there must be harm that comes to my brother, whether it's an actual brother or whether it's a brother in Islam. I mean, can we have those types of feelings against anyone? That is the intoxication that we have with this, the world. But no sooner does the Payame Madina come into our hearts. In other words, the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had he wanted, the mountains could have walked of gold with him. Mountains. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opted for a life of poverty. That is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his poverty was not imposed. One is imposition from Allah ta'ala said, you like it or not, this is how you must stay. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his poverty was optional. He chose that life. If he had wanted, he could have been blessed by Allah ta'ala with the wealth of this world and everything else. But he chose to lead that type of lifestyle. So when a person gets this payam of Medina, when he gets the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the way and the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where is then there going to be jealousy in his heart? Because he's not impressed by the worldly things. If Allah ta'ala gave, well and good, use it. But it's not something that I must die for and I must have the jealousy for and I must do everything to see that my friend that or my brother that has got it, then calamity must be so that it's snatched away from him or I must make every attempt to take it away from him. He is free from all this, that serenity of the heart which he's robbing himself of. Suddenly you find that he's content with what he's got. If this is what I got, what did my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have? When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his home, sometimes days and months when nothing to cook in the home, this is the home of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's tying, every other sahabi has got one stone tied to his stomach. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has two stones tied to his stomach mubarak because of the hunger. Now this is the life of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when he looks into that and he sees that Allah ta'ala has kept him in that type of poverty, then he makes shukr to Allah ta'ala that Ya Allah, you are keeping me in one way in the sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That poverty that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced, well, not to that extent, but at least to this extent that I don't have anything with me, I don't have anything to eat. So this is a sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I'm being made to fulfill. So when he's content on that, he's happy on that, where is the jealousy going to come? So therefore, this Payam-e-Madina, the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the message of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when it comes into the heart, then dunya ki cheeze, the things of this world, ye hai chod, it mean absolutely nothing to you. It will mean absolutely nothing to you.
يا صبح مدينة يا شام مدينة مبارك تجي قيام مدينة سكون جهات कहाँ ढूंढते हो सुकून जहाँ तुम कहाँ ढूंढते हो सुकून जहाँ है निजाम Medina.
The reality is that everyone is looking for peace and everyone is looking for contentment of heart, and we are looking for it in the wrong place. The problem is that we are searching for it in the things of this world, attaching ourselves to the thing that if I have wealth, if I have this comfort, that luxury, then I will get that sukoon ya dil. The reality is that the sukoon-e-dil is not going to be found there. Sukoon-e-dil is somewhere else, it is placed somewhere else. And that is in the Nizam and in the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like that incident, I think we have mentioned it in the past as well, that there was an elderly person that was searching for something in the street light outside. In the street light outside he was searching for something. So a younger person that was going past saw this elderly person and decided to offer him some assistance and asked him that, Uncle, what are you searching for? I see you searching, you're bending, you're searching for something. He says, listen, I've had a coin with me and that coin has fallen off from my pocket or from my hand and I'm searching for it around here. So, okay, let me help and assist you in looking for that thing. So he begins looking for it in this corner, that corner, wherever the light was falling, the brightness, he began looking. Then he said, in which direction or where did you drop it? So he says that, no, I've dropped it inside my house. So he turned around and asked this elderly person, he said, if you've dropped it in the house, then you need to look for it there. Why are you looking for it here? He said, no, because the light is here, that's why I'm looking for it here. He said, you'll continue, your whole life will finish, you won't find it here, you'll have to go where you dropped it. So the same thing, the sukoon and dil, if you're going to be looking for it in the glitter and glamour of this world, we're not going to find it. It's just going to increase the parishani of the heart and the restlessness of the heart. It's going to get you more and more for anything. Okay, if I get this much more, then I'll get that peace and comfort. When that doesn't come, then from there you want to go to the next stage. Until the only thing that will fill that desire and that those aspirations is that the mouth comes, and that's the end of this person. So that is not where we are going to find that peace and comfort. It is sukoon e dil is not there. Sukoon e dil lies in the nizam of Madina Tayyiba. It lies in the way Mubarak shown to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
يا صبح مدينة يا شام مدينة مبارك تجي قيام مدينة هو آزاد أختر غم دو جهان سے ہو آزاد اختر غم دو جہاں سے جو ہو جائے دل سے غلام مدینہ جو ہو جائے دل سے غلام مدینہ یا صبح مدینہ یا شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے یہ قیام مدینہ.
May Allah Ta'ala accept the presence of all those that are seated here. May Allah Ta'ala accept this sacrifice, this little sacrifice of ours, seated here in the house of Allah Ta'ala, turning to Allah Ta'ala and making this little effort in the hope that Allah Ta'ala blesses us with His ishq, His muhabbat, and muhabbat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. May Allah Ta'ala reward each and every one of us. Whatever good aspirations, wishes, desires we have, may Allah Ta'ala make that a reality for us. Whatever problems, difficulties we are experiencing, may Allah Ta'ala remove those problems and difficulties. And the du'as that we make for ourselves, we also extend these du'as especially to our family folk that are sitting at home. And because of the respect of the hukm of Allah Ta'ala, they don't venture out of their homes. Otherwise, they would have also been here. But because it is the command of Allah Ta'ala for them that to remain within their homes, so they respect the command of Allah Ta'ala. So may Allah Ta'ala bless and reward them also. May Allah Ta'ala, just as He blesses us, bless them as well. It will be an injustice if we leave them out of our du'as. It will be an injustice if we leave them out of our du'as. And remember that it is the ihsan and the favor on us that they allow us this opportunity to go and participate in dini programs. Keep this in mind, that it is the ihsan and favor. Because if you're going to turn our minds away from that, then we will not be able to recognize this favor of theirs and this ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. Remember, my Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, they probably maybe mentioned it earlier as well, that there was a person, there was a youngster that used to come and spend time in the company of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali in long periods of time during the day. Quite a few hours he used to come and spend. So on one occasion, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali told him that you need to thank your family, your wife for it, for allowing you the opportunity to come and spend this time with me. But if she was possessive and she said, no, you can't go and you have to stay here at home. We do have sometimes, okay, for whatever good reason, sometimes the wives are very possessive of their husbands, even if they're going into company of the sulaha or whatever, then they feel that they should rather stay at home. So if your spouse was like that and didn't allow you or didn't give you the permission to come and stay with me, then it wouldn't have been possible. Otherwise you would have had problems in the house, and there's going to be arguments that you want to go and she doesn't want to leave. So the fact that they give us the permission and they allow us to come, that in itself is a ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. So how then can we forget the ihsan on us? How then can we forget their favor on us? Because they consented, and sometimes it is their backing, it is their support, it is their encouragement that we find ourselves here. The mothers and sometimes the wives themselves say, "No, go for this Dini program." It is the encouragement that makes us find ourselves in these types of programs. So therefore, do not downplay this favor of this and this ihsan of this on us. Therefore, just as we remember ourselves and we make du'as for ourselves, don't forget our spouses in our du'as, specifically of course our parents and everyone else. But there's many things sometimes we just turn a blind eye to it and think that this is just one of those things, whereas in reality these are great favors and bounties and ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. So may Allah Ta'ala bless and reward them as well. May Allah Ta'ala, those that are returning, may Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala take them all safely to their destinations. May Allah Ta'ala make us go from here with a heart that is pleased with Allah Ta'ala, with a heart that is now brimming with the love of Allah Ta'ala, with a heart that is now ready to spring into the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. That, "Ya Allah, whatever your command is, I will do. Ya Allah, whatever the command of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is, I will do. Ya Allah, whatever you have prohibited, Ya Allah, I'm ready for that now. Irrespective of the fact that I may have to crush my evil egos and desires. But Ya Allah, if that is your order, so be it. I'm prepared for it." Go with that jazbah that inshallah I will obey Allah Ta'ala, I will obey the commands of Allah Ta'ala, I will carry out the commands of Allah Ta'ala, and then see Allah Ta'ala will give the courage. May Allah Ta'ala make it a reality for me, for you, for all of us. May Allah Ta'ala accept, and may Allah Ta'ala change and make our future very, very prosperous. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala guide us, guide our family members, guide our family folks. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with barakat in everything we do. May Allah Ta'ala grant us barakat in our rizq, our sustenance, our businesses, our wealth, our health, our belongings. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant us protection in our iman, in our izzat, in our abru, in the things that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us, the possessions of this world. May Allah Ta'ala protect everything. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك وحب العمل الذي يقربنا إليك. اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب رسولك صلى الله عليه وسلم وحب من ينفعنا حبه عندك. يا كريم الله bless us with your محبت, bless us with the محبت of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا الله bless us with your إطاعت and your obedience and the إطاعت and obedience of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا الله you create your love and the love of Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم in our hearts. يا الله make it easy for us to implement every sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. Ya Allah, let the nur of the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enter our hearts. Let the nur of the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enter our homes. Ya Allah, make that a means for the zulamat and the darkness that is in our homes. Oh my Kareem Allah, make the sunnahs and the nur of the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a means to expel that darkness in our homes. Oh my Kareem Allah, give us a tawfiq to implement the sunnahs in our life. Ya Allah, let us introduce it in our homes. Let us make our family members, Ya Allah, introduce the sunnah into their lives. Let our children, oh my Kareem Allah, let us make the tarbiyat in such a way that they also begin implementing the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us the ishq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us the muhabbat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take us to the Pak Diyar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over and over again. Ya Allah, let us present ourselves before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and give us a good fortune, O my Kareem Allah, for deciding As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habiballah, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya khayra khalqillah, just in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Kareem Allah, bless us, bless every ummati with that good fortune of presenting himself and herself before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O my Kareem Allah, with utmost respect of the place, with utmost respect and muhabbat and ishq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O my Kareem Allah, give us the courage to keep away from every type of evil. Ya Allah, give us the courage to stay away from every type of guna. Ya Allah, you make it easy. easy for us. Ya Kareem Allah, you help and assist us. We are extremely weak. Ya Allah, bless us with all that good that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has begged of you. Ya Allah, and grant us protection from all the evil that Sayyidina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sought protection from. Ya Allah, those that are sick and ailing. Ya Allah, bless them with shifa kamil, ajil, mustamir. Ya Allah, those that are experiencing any types of problems and difficulties in their lives, remove the problems and difficulties. O my Kareem Allah, those that are in search of halal risk, bless them with sufficient halal risk. O my Kareem Allah, those that are searching for good marriage partners, Ya Allah, bless them with good marriage partners. O my Kareem Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy, those that are earning, bless them with sufficient halal risk. Ya Allah, bless them with barakat in their risk. O my Kareem Allah, there is absolutely nothing short in your treasures. Ya Allah, you give from your treasures of halal. Ya Allah, save us from all type of haram earnings. Ya Allah, let us take out haram from our lives. Ya Allah, give us yaqeen in your dhat. Ya Allah, give us conviction in your zat. O my Kareem Allah, give us that in our hearts that everything comes from you and there is nothing short in your treasure. And that whatever we need, O my Kareem Allah, we just need to raise our begging bowls and seek from you. Ya Kareem Allah, you give us without asking. Ya Allah, you are Kareem, and Kareem is the one that gives even without asking and without deserving. O my Kareem Allah, through your infinite grace and mercy, bless us with all that khair that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sought of you, and bless us with protection from all the evil that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sought protection from. Ya Allah, those that have requested us to make du'as for them. Ya Kareem Allah, whatever the good aspirations, wishes and desires are, Ya Allah, you bless them with those good wishes, aspirations and desires. Ya Allah, protect them from all the evils, the fitnas and the difficulties. Ya Allah, wa mashayikh, you give them long life with afiyat and salamati. Ya Allah, wherever your friends are and that are making khidmat of the deen of Allah Ta'ala and serving your makhluk and your creation and showing them that compassion and making du'as for them and crying for them. Oh my Kareem Allah, those that are near us, those that are away from us, Ya Allah, you bless and reward each and every one of them. Give them long life with afiyat and salamati. O my Kareem Allah, keep their presence on this earth for a very long time with afiyat and salamati. O my Kareem Allah, those that have passed on from this world, Ya Allah, you bless them with the highest of ranks in the Akhirah. Make us a sadaqah jariya for them. Ya Allah, our parents, one or both of them, if they have left this world, Ya Allah, fill their qabr with noor. Ya Allah, make us a means of sadaqah jariya for them. Ya Allah, the thawab and the reward of our good actions, let it reach them and make them happy in their qabrs. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amin ya rabbal alameen. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.